Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kama Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kama Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. Five lines from the bottom. Tanya Amar Bishua, Arbet Varm Ha'Ois Oisam Pot Medina Adam V'Chay Medina Shemayim. There are four acts of Hezek that are only in the category of Grumma ben Zaken. And as we have Baruch Hashem learned many times, the halach is that if somebody only causes damage to occur, not actually does the damage directly, the halach is Chayiv b'dinei Shemayim, is Chayiv b'dinei Shemayim, and Prata b'dinei Adam. And before we begin getting into the Shir and getting into the Gemara, the Ezer Hashem Yisbarach, it's worthwhile to spend a moment to discuss what is this concept of Chayiv b'dinei Shemayim and Prata b'dinei Adam mean. Actually, there are two approaches in the Rishonim how to view this. Some Rishonim explain that what it means is that Beis Din certainly cannot collect or enforce damages to be paid under such a circumstance. However, a person who wants to do the right thing should pay the person who got damaged in this event. The Me'iri has a different pshat. The Me'iri's pshat is that the person is actually obligated to pay these damages. It's just that Beis Din cannot enforce the payment obligation, but the obligation is there. In fact, the Me'iri says that if someone who is in such a circumstance doesn't pay what he's obligated to pay, then he becomes a possible aid. He's disqualified to be an aid, because certainly he has an obligation that he hasn't fulfilled. In fact, the Mefarshim, the Paiskim, ask another question. What will be the halacha if somebody did hezek in one of these forms, that's Chai B'dinei Shemayim and Pata B'dinei Adam, and the nizik was typhus? The nizik seized the money that he felt was coming to him. May the nizik keep the money or not? So some want to suggest, the Dvar of Rom wants to suggest, that that question will be dependent on the Machlokes Rishonim we quoted. What is the halacha by what does Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim represent? According to the Me'iri, that there is a real obligation here. So if the Nizik seized it, then there would be a Chayiv to pay. The Nizik may keep it. On the other hand, according to the other Rishonim, that's only sort of an obligation with Shemayim, the Nizik may not seize it. There's an interesting Yamsa Shloima. The Yamsa Shloima says that we've learned the concept of Kimlei Medrabimnei. What does Kimlei Medrabimnei teach us? That if somebody did an Aveira for which there are two punishments, we only give the more serious punishment. Says the Yamsa Shloima, in such a circumstance, certainly the lesser punishment is very much in order. For example, let's say there was a situation that there was an obligation of Misa Mammon. Certainly the Mammon obligation is there. Just the Torah says that if you give Misa, we can't enforce the Mammon payment. There, says the Yamsha Shloima, certainly if the Nizik would be typhus, if the Nizik would seize what he feels is coming to him, he would be allowed to keep it. There's also an interesting point made by the Paradis Yosef. The Paradis Yosef asks, As we're learning now, we see that there's a concept of Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim and Pata B'dinei Adam. So it seems to say that they're more stringent in Shemayim than they are B'dei Adam. So therefore he asks, we know that the halach is that B'dei Adam, Beis Din, a child that becomes an adult, a woman when she's 12 years old, a man when he's 13 years old. But in a Shemayim, they only administer punishment from 20. So we see that there's a stricter standard here than there is in Shemayim. Isn't that in contrast to what we're learning, what we're going to be learning? So the Paradis Yosef answers, certainly in Shemayim there may be a stricter standard, as we're learning. But The point he makes is that the perspective min haShamayim is a different perspective than b'dei Adam. Bezdin Shamato, a regular Bezdin's perspective, is a Gashmistig perspective, because we live in a Gashmistig world. And therefore, when a child is 12, 13 years old, he's responsible for what he's doing. In Shemayin, the perspective is a Ruchnistig perspective. What does the Aveira, how does the Aveira affect the Neshama? And only until a person is 20 years old can his actions have a significant effect on his neshama. So says the Gemara Tanya on Rabbi Shua, Abed Varam Ha'ois Ha'ois Ha'ampot B'dein Adam. There are four averus for which there is a no chiv B'dein Adam, however v'chai B'dein Shemayim. Ve'elohim Ha'paritz Gedder B'fnei Behemoth Chaveiro. If somebody breaches a wall before the animal, someone else's animal, and the animal goes out, v'koifav kamosa shel chaveroi b'fnei adaleika, if somebody bends over somebody else's grain towards a fire, and therefore the grain gets burnt, v'soicha eidei sheker lahoyed, if somebody hires eidei sheker, forced eidim to say testimony on his behalf, v'hayoidea eidus l'chaveroi v'ein meidloi, and someone who knows testimony on behalf of someone else but doesn't come to say the Eidus. And now the Gemara begins to analyze each one of these four cases. Amamar, HaParitz Gedor Fnei Behemoth Chaveroi, if somebody breaches a wall in front of somebody else's animal, ask the Gemara, Heichidomi, exactly what is the circumstances? And as the Machloikas Rishonim, what is the Gemara's perspective? Rashi and Tosfos say that the Gemara's question is about the wall. When should he be or should he not be responsible for the breaking of the wall? The other Rishonim that say that the Gemara's question is regarding the animal that went out, and in that there are also two approaches. One approach is if the animal did damage, and another animal approaches if the animal got injured. But we're going to learn like Rashi and Tosfos, where the Gemara's question is regarding the wall. And Heichidami, what is the circumstances about this wall? Ilam b'koysel bari, if it's, we're referring to a sturdy wall, so then b'dinei adam nam nichayiv. If somebody broke someone else's sturdy wall, he certainly should be held responsible. Ella, it must be referring, says the Gemara, to koysel ru'a, to a weak wall, which would have been dismantled anyway, and therefore the person who caused that wall to fall did not really cause any real damage. So the way most Rishonim learn, so therefore he's not responsible for the wall, not even according to Tosfos Bidei Shemayim, because the wall would have fallen anyway. Other Rishonim say that he is responsible for the wall, at least Bidei Shemayim, because maybe he could have still had use for the wall, maybe he could have found somebody who could repair the wall and not need to entirely rebuild the wall. However, what the Bryce is teaching us is, for the wall, he's not responsible. The issue here is regarding the animal that went out, and for the animal, it's certainly a situation of Grum bin Azokin, and Grum bin Azokin, the only Chayiv B'dei Shemayim. Omamar. So then the Gemara gave the next example, was Hakayf Kamosha Shavari Bifne Adalaika. Somebody bends somebody else's grain towards a fire. So again, ask the Gemara, Heichi Domi, exactly what is the situation that's being referred to here? Ilay Medamatle Baruch Metsuya, that the fire would have reached this grain anyway. Bidina Adam Nam Nichayev. That means if I bend the grain towards the fire, that the fire will certainly reach this grain, I certainly ought to be chayif if it's going to reach a Baruch Metsuya. And in fact, the Rishonim say that it makes no difference if I bend, that even if it's a Ruach She'ena Metsuya, but we're in a place where there is currently a Ruach She'ena Metsuya, So it's something that I should recognize that by bending the grain towards that Ruach Shem Metzuya, the grain will get burned, and I certainly should be Chai B'dinei Adam. Ella, explains the Gemara, the Matya B'Ruach Shem Metzuya. We're referring to a situation where there was a fire, but there was a Ruach, and under normal circumstances, the fire would not have reached this grain. But now I bent it, and a Ruach Shem Metzuya came, and I'm Chayiv. And Tosfos points out that from here we see that the Chiyuv for Eish is not only by bringing the fire to the item that gets burnt, but also by drawing the item that gets burnt closer to the fire, it's also considered a situation of, it's also considered Eish. And therefore, I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Evan Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Yanka Fisher, regarding a shayla that comes up on Yontif. On Yontif, we know that if there's a fire on the oven, we're not allowed to close that fire. We're not allowed to close the fire. But let's say somebody has such a fire on in his kitchen, and for whatever reason he wants to close the fire, what could he do? So he says, certainly to open up the window that will cause the fire to get extinguished is certainly usur. Because our Gemara is teaching us that opening up a window, bringing the wind to the fire, is certainly considered kibui. But what he does discuss, based on our Gemara, is perhaps what one could do is what would be a gram kibui. Meaning, take a pot of water, full of water, put it on the fire, let that water boil over, and the water, by boiling over, will cause the fire to get extinguished. That will only be a gram kibui, and therefore he says it would be mutter. However, he says it's only mutter with a number of conditions. Number one, it has to be a situation where you really want that boiled water. Otherwise, you're not allowed to put water on the fire to boil on Yontif if you have no need for that water. Furthermore, you have to be very careful that since you're taking a full pot of water, that you have to put it down carefully on top of the flame, that you shouldn't cause water to spill out and extinguish the fire. Furthermore, you have to be careful that while the water is boiling, not to move the pot. Because only if the water by itself boils over and causes the fire to go out, have you not done anything wrong. But if you actually cause the water to extinguish the fire, that again is usur on Yontif. So that's one situation where how we would understand this case of being chai b'dini adam, b'dini shmai pot b'dini adam. Rav Ashi has a different explanation. Tomei itma. The Mishnah is referring to a situation of tamen v'shum d'shavya tamen b'esh. As we learned and will learn in Mitzvah Hashem, the halacha is that a fire burns something that was hidden, tamen, the balo esh, the perpetrator, is not chayiv. So here, somebody went and covered that item that was exposed, and now, by covering the item, when the fire ultimately burns it, he will have caused that the nizik should not be able to collect damages from the Bala Eish. There was only a grum of Benazakin, and that's why he's Chai B'dini Shemayim, part of B'dini Adam. There's an interesting question amongst the Mefarshim. What would be the halacha if it was the person himself who made the fire and covered up something, covered the grain? What would be the din? Some say that then there would be a chiyuv. That then there would be a chiyuv for him. There would be a chiyuv b'day adam, because he certainly had no right to do that. Others say that he would be potter. Why? Because, and this is the way Birkas Shmuel learns. He says like this. He says the halacha of tamen is a hard and fast din. That if it's tamen, you're not allowed, there's no chiyuv eish. So if I, who am not involved in this fire, go and cover it up, I caused a loss in a situation that I had no direct relationship to. But someone else who, he's the one that made the fire, perhaps he should be part of B'dinei Shemayim also, because he had a personal interest. However, the way it seems that most Mepharshim learn that the halach is he would be chayiv also B'dinei Shemayim, just not chayiv B'dinei Adam. Omar, Hasoicher Eidei Sheker. The next case was that if somebody hires Eidei Sheker. Hechidomi, ask the Gemara, Ilayim L'Nafshei, if somebody hired Eidei Sheker to say false testimony on his own behalf, so Memaneh Bar Yishlumei, Ubedini Adam Nam Nechayev, if I hired Edom to say false testimony on my behalf, I ought to be Chayev Bedini Adam to pay back what I got illegally. Ella, it's referring to situation Lechavrei, that I hired him on behalf of my Chaver, and as the Mepharshim explained, my Chaver, who I hired on his behalf these false Edom, is not here or doesn't have the means to pay back the money he received illegally by these Edom saying false testimony on his behalf, and therefore the I to be Yoytzi Dina Shemayim, for I had no right to hire Edom under such circumstances, have to pay back. There is the Mepharshim make a very important point. They say that even in a situation where I know that somebody hired falsely, and I go and now I hire other Edom, I know there are Edom that are about to say something false, and I go and I hire Edom to counteract those Edom who I know are false, it's still usur. For it's never mutter to hire false Edom. The Rishayim also point out that the only time the person he would be chayif, it's only in a situation if he knows, if he himself admits to it. But the Edom, if the Edom come and say it, they don't have any nemonis for two reasons. One reason the Rishonim say is because ain't other meis matzma rasha. The Edom by coming in and saying that they said false testimony is ain't other meis matzma rasha. And also there's a concept of kivin shehigid shuv ena yachal, kivin shehigid shuv ena chayzu magid. Once the Edom said testimony, they have no right to say testimony again. However, if the Edom do come and pay, then I will be absolved. As I said before, Tosfos says that if only time that I am chai b'din Shemayim is if the person who received the money illegally doesn't have the means or is not here to pay back himself. However, let's say he pays back himself, then I would not even be chai b'din Shemayim according to Tosfos. The Pnei Yeshua makes a very interesting point. He says that if I hired Edom to say false testimony, and even if the person who received the money illegally returns it, I still have an obligation to pay, because I need to have a kapara for what I need to have a kapara for the avera that I did. And since I need to have a kapara for the avera that I did, even if the people got back the money, I still have to pay. There's also a machlokes rishonim. Tosfos says, and so it seems from the Gemara that we're going to soon learn, that the situation of our Gemara is only in a circumstance where I hired the Edom. But let's say I just requested these people to say false testimony on my behalf, and then the halacha would be that I'm still part of Medina Adam. However, other Rishonim, Butva, that even says that even if I didn't hire them, I didn't pay them, I just requested from them, and they did it based on my request, I would also be chayif. The next case was, if I know testimony on behalf of someone else, and I don't say the testimony. Asking Rabbi Mayaskinen, exactly what is the circumstance? Ilayim Beitrei, if we're referring to a situation where there are two Edom, Pshita, and the two Edom refuse to say Edis where they know testimony, the Raisahu. There's an issa deraisa to withhold testimony, because the pasuk says im lo yagid v'nasa avoyna. The pasuk is referring to a situation where Edom are approached to say by somebody says you know testimony on my behalf. The Edom falsely say that they do not, and they swear to that, and then they come and they admit that they swore falsely and that they do no testimony, the halacha is they have to bring a carbon oil of yoyrid based on their financial status. That's what the carbon has to be made of. So that's an issa d'oraisa. As to Rishonim, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting, as we just said, is referring to specific circumstance where the edim deny knowing edis and swear falsely. What does that have to do with our situation? So Mefarshim explain, the Rishonim explain, that the entire avera of denying and then swearing falsely to corroborate that denial, that you don't know testimony when you do know testimony, is only in a circumstance, say Rishon, is only based on the avera of denying that you know testimony. If there was no issue of denying that you know testimony, nothing wrong would have happened here. And therefore, we obviously see there's an avera if somebody refuses to say testimony when he knows. Now that pasuk is referring to two edim, because really only two edim have that power to, and by they refusing to say edis, they're causing damage. Says the Gemara, El Bechad, is referring to one aid. So one aid really doesn't have that much power. So in that's the case where the Gemara says that if somebody refuses to say edis and he's chai b'dinei shemayim and putta b'dinei adam. However, the Mefarshim point out that there are a number of qualifications to this. Certainly the only time where one aid refuses to say edis when he knows edis, he's chai b'dinei shemayim, is only in a case where his edis could accomplish something. In a case where his edis could not accomplish anything, for example, a capital case, says the Miches Chinuch, then by refusing to say edis, he hasn't done anything wrong, and therefore he would not even be chayiv b'din shemayim. Ask the Gemara, v'suleka, are there no other cases that fall into this category? V'ika, simen ha'os b'sam shliach aver nishba. Halacha is ha'os malacha b'mei chatas or paras chatas. The halacha is that the water that's gathered to be used for the parah aduma and the ashes, you're not allowed to do any work with that water. According to Tosfos, the water may not be used, nor may that parah aduma or the ashes of the parah aduma be used prior to them being mixed together. However, once the mixture is made of the water and the afer, there is no isser. There are other Rishonim that disagrees, and they say that even after they're mixed together, they're not allowed to be used. So the halacha is, if somebody uses these items in a way that's a hezek, that's not really considered a hezek, like Rashi gives the example, that it's used as a weight on a scale, so it's not a noticeable, it's not a discernible damage, and the halacha is, hezek shein nikar lo shmei hezek, the halacha is part of b'dinei adam v'chai b'dinei shemayim. Or says the Gemara, there's another case. If somebody puts poison in front of somebody else's behema, there too the halacha is part of b'dinei adam v'chai b'dinei shemayim. As we learned the opinion of Rav, because the animal, the person could always argue that the animal should not have eaten that food. But there's another example. If somebody sends a fire in the hands of a chereshoit for cotton, again, the halacha is part of b'dinei adam v'chai b'dinei shemayim. This is a mishnah we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on the afternoon test. And there's a machloikis how to understand why it's part of b'dinei adam v'chai b'dinei shemayim. Rish Lakish says it's referring to a situation that he gave a coal to one of these individuals. And they are the ones that fanned the coal into a flame, and therefore the person who gave it into their hands is not chayiv b'dinei adam. Rabbi Yochanan says, however, that it's referring to a situation that he actually gave a flame to them. He's still exempt because he wasn't the one that put the property or anything that got burnt afire. Vika, and there's another case. If somebody frightens someone else and he causes the person, for example, to have hearing loss, the halacha is part of b'dinei Adam, the chayav b'dinei Shemayim. And we learned a number of reasons why that halacha is. Because one is the person bent his ear towards the person who yelled, so he shouldn't have bent his ear. Another shot is that he held his ear. He's only he didn't hold his ear. You would only be chayiv if you actually held the ear. Here he didn't actually hold the ear, and that's why you're chayiv. And the other pshat that the Shita quotes is because the person himself caused the injury by getting frightened. He should have been able to withstand that fright and not get adversely affected. And there's another case. Nishbar kad b'shus rabim v'lay silka. We learned the Gemara. If somebody's pitcher broke in shus rabim and he didn't pick it up, nafla gmal v'lay himidai, or his camel fell and he didn't pick it up, remei achai b'chazeikon v'cham oimrim pot b'dein odam v'chai b'dein shmaim. Regarding the case of Nishbar kadoi, a Gemara that we learned on Daf Chav Tes, the machlokes is based on the question of niska pashayahu or niska is not pashaya, and the other case about the gomel in the shus rabim. So it's also a din that we discussed. If somebody is mafker that gomel that he leaves in the shus rabim, is that considered a bar that he's still responsible for or not? So we see many other cases where we have this concept of the pot medina adam v'chai medina shemayim. Why did the Gemara begin by specifying the four cases that we learned? Answers the Gemara. In mi ikatuva, there are indeed many other cases where halacha is pot medina adam v'chai medina shemayim. However, v'hani itzrichalei, the cases that we spoke about in today's shir, there's a specific reason for them to have been mentioned. Because ma'al b'teima b'deinu shemayim nami lo l'chayiv, it could be argued that maybe in these circumstances it shouldn't be chayiv even medina shemayim. Kamash malon, that's why we have to learn that you're at least chayiv medina shemayim. And the Gemara explains by each case why one would think that way. The first case was haparis gedu b'fnei behem chaveroi. Somebody breaches the wall in front of somebody else's animal. Because ma'al b'teima, kivin de l'mister ekoi, as we explained, we were referring to a situation of the wall being a weak wall that should have been broken down. So ma of it. So one could say, what did I do wrong? And therefore, b'dina shemayim nami lo l'chayiv. I should not even be chayiv b'dina shemayim. Kamash malon. That's why it has to be, teach us that you're chayiv at least b'dina shemayim by breaking that wall. The next case was hakoyfiv kamosu shchaver nami. In the case where somebody bent someone else's grain towards a fire. Madatema. Again, Layman Miyav Yadana, Das Ruch Shemitsuya. The Gemara gave two explanations of that case. One case was where he bent it towards the fire, but under normal circumstances, the fire would have never reached that grain. And all of a sudden, a Ruach She'ena Mitsuya came, and it caused the fire to reach the grain. So perhaps the person who bent the grain should be able to argue, me have yadana the asi ruach shel mitzuya. I would have never imagined that ruach shel mitzuya will arrive here, and therefore b'dinei shemayim nami lo l'chayiv. I shouldn't even be chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Kamash malon that I am held responsible. Urav Ashi dama nami tamanitna. According to Rav Ashi, that was referring to a case where the grain, I covered the grain. So madu tema anok suyik sisei nalach. I didn't do anything wrong. I covered the grain. My purpose was to do the right thing, to cover the grain, that your grain should not get burnt. And therefore, b'dinei shemayim nami lo l'chayiv, kamash malon, that I am chayiv. Ask Tosfos, why indeed am I chayiv? My intention were very honorable. Answers Tosfos, that even though my intentions were very honorable, I should have considered the repercussions of my actions. And by covering up this grain, and the fire, if there's no guarantee that my covering the grain will prevent the grain from getting burnt. And when now the grain will get burnt, the Bala Eish, as we said earlier, will not be chayiv for the grain. So I actually caused, did worse, did them better, and therefore I should have recognized the repercussions of my actions, and I'm chayiv. But from here we see, point out the Paiskim, that we take into consideration what was my thinking when I did this act. I saw a very interesting shayla from Yitzhak Zilberstein. He discusses such a question. He says there was a whole house, number of apartments in a house, and they have, like we have here in New York, separate garbage bins for paper garbage, for regular garbage. And one of the people that lived in that house came to the garbage bin that's dedicated for the paper garbage and saw that another person from the house put a big box into the garbage bin, and that is no room for anyone else to put their paper garbage into that garbage bin. So he went and took out that box, and that is plenty of room. He put in his paper garbage bag. Others were able to do the same. The next morning, a sanitation inspector drives by and he sees the box outside of the garbage bin, and the box has the name of the person who received the delivery, tenant whose box it was, and he writes out a summons to that individual. That individual comes now to his neighbor and says, "You caused me to get a summons because by putting my box out, I got a summons, and you should be responsible." So certainly, he's not chai b'dini adam, because he's only a grummer ben nezakin. The question is he chai b'dini shemayim? So the Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says, we look at the concept that we just learned. If the person who took out the box from that garbage bin intention was to make room in that garbage bin for all the other people in the house to have a place where to put their garbage, which was completely unusable because of that big box, Al Gemara is teaching us that when your intent is honorable, you're not even chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Ask the Gemara, Esoich Eidah Shekinami, says the Gemara, the case where somebody hired false Eidim, Neima, Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishayim. Do we have a concept? The Eidim should have not have done. When I hired them to say false testimony, they should have refused. And therefore, Obedine Shemayim, Nami Loy Lechayiv, Kamash Malan. Ask the Mefarshim, we know that throughout Halacha, we do follow the concept of Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud, Loy Shamim. The halacha is that's why the halacha is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So why over here don't we apply that concept? So Mefarshim say, as we said earlier, since here he paid them to say false testimony, it's an entirely we don't apply the concept of Divrei Rav for Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishamim. But then I saw that the Beis Aaron asks that the halacha is that even though normally we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, but where the Shliach has Hano, there we don't say that concept. For example, the Gemara says that if somebody asks a Shliach to eat something not kosher, so since the Shliach has Hano, so he certainly, therefore we certainly don't say Shlichus. So here too, the Edom are benefiting. They're getting paid, so they should be held responsible. Answers the Beis Aaron. Since the benefit they're getting is not Hanor Saguf, it's only that they're getting paid, that's not called a Hanor that will make them responsible, and the Mishaleich is still responsible, at least B'dinei Shemayim. The next case that we learned was, Vayidei Edus L'Chaveroi, Ve'en Amei Lo Nami, Ma'anim Tem Mi Yema, Dechave Mesavim Lo Yavim Moida. Perhaps this person could argue that even if I would have testified, and again, as we explained earlier, we're referring to an Eid Echad, and all the power an Eid Echad has is that the person that he's testifying, if an Eid Echad comes and says that you owe money, he can't force the person to pay, but he can require, his Eidus makes the person have to make a Shvua, but he could perhaps argue, Mi Yema Dechiav Mesedin Lo Yavim Moida. Who says that if I would have testified, he would have admitted that he owes the money? Maybe he would have sworn falsely, and therefore I didn't do anything wrong by withholding my edus, because he wouldn't have paid anyway, and therefore b'dei shemayim nami loy l'chayiv, kamash malan, that he is chayiv b'dinei shemayim. We learned in the Mishnah Nifritzu b'layla, or shebetzu listim, if the it was breached at night, or robbers breached it, he's chayiv for anything that happened if the animal escapes. Amar Rava, v'hu shechasra. It only applies when the animal dug under the wall. That's when the owner is not responsible. Avloi chasra, if it didn't dig under, then what would be the din? Chayiv. Then it seems that the Gemara is holding that the owner would be responsible. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Dami, exactly what is the situation here? Ilem b'kaisel bari, if we're talking about a sturdy wall, ki loy chasra my chayiv, even if the animal did not dig beneath it, why should I be chayiv? My havelel mevet, I kept my animals in a sturdy wall, and therefore I should be considered an oinus and not be chayiv. Ella, it's b'kaisel ruah, it's a weak wall. So then ask the Gemara, ki chasra my potter, even if the animal dug under, why am I potter? Isn't this the case of tchilasu b'pshia v'soif b'ayinusu? By keeping the animal in a wall, in an enclosure with such a weak wall, shouldn't I be held chayiv? Now the Rishonim explain that we only apply the concept of tchilasu b'pshia v'soif b'ayinus if the ayinus is connected to the pshia. Here, asked the Rishonim, the pshi was the weak wall. The oinus is that the animal dug out from under the wall. So why is that considered chalas of pshi v'soif ba'oinus? So says the Riva, quoted by Taisus, what happened here is only if the wall collapsed and the animal walked out from where the wall collapsed, and therefore we have a situation of chalas of pshi. I put him into a weak wall, the safe behind us, and therefore the animal by digging under and the wall collapsing, it's all connected. However, the animal would escape through a tunnel under the wall, so the wall's instability has nothing to do, that shear has nothing to do with the ultimate way the animal get out, it would not be considered t'chilas of pshia v'safe behind us. But ask the Gemara, that's why we could understand our Mishnah. It's the Gemara. Our Mishnah is referring to a solid wall. And therefore, even if the animal didn't dig or did dig, he's exempt. This statement the Rava made, making this difference between if the animal dug or didn't dig, is referring to the Seifa, Itma. It said in the Seifa, Hanicha b'chama, if he left the sheep out in the sun, Oishem asol chereshoit v'kotten, v'yotz v'zika chayiv, Amar Rava, on this comments Rava, v'fil chasra, even if the animal dug beneath the wall, he will, and the wall was sturdy, he's chayiv. Says the Gemara, certainly in a situation where the animal did not have to dig but escaped it in a conventional manner, the owner is chayiv, the kulub pshihi, for putting the animal out in the sun. Even if you put it in a sturdy enclosure, the animal is going to do something to get out of his discomfort. Ela fil chasra nami, but even in a case where the animal dug beneath the wall, maratema hava tchlas b'pshihi v'soif b'oinus, because we have a sturdy wall, and the animal digging out from under the wall is certainly a situation of oinus, and he should be therefore potter, kamash malon, that this is considered kula pshihi. Because my tama, damalei, the yidit made this yidit, the kivishas b'chama, you ought to know that if you leave an animal out in the sun, kol tatzdaka de isla l'mavid, avdavanavka, whatever the animal can do to get out, it will do to get out. And therefore, whatever it ultimately did to get out, you are responsible for. We learned in the Mishnah, Haitziu listen, listen chayavim. If listen take it out, the listen are chayiv. Ask the Gemara Pshita, of course they're chayiv. Kivin dafkua, if the robbers take the animal out from my rishus, kaimelim rishus elukomile, they become the robbers' animals for all halachic requirements. There's a machlokes Rishonim, what does this mean? Some explain, quite simply that since the animals pull, since the robbers, the ganovim, pull the animal out from my rishus, so what they've done here is a maisa kinyan, a maisa mashicha, and whenever a maisa mashicha is done, it's considered a kinyan that they become responsible. Others say that since the ganovim are responsible for anything that happens to these animals while they're in their possession, so that it's considered like it's the property of the animal, and therefore certainly the animal, the listen ought to be chayif that for any damage these animals do while they're under their control. Says the Gemara, "Letzricha de kamala ba'apa." Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the ganovim did not actually pull out the animals, because if the ganovim actually pulled out the animals, it becomes theirs. They just stood in their way, and because they just stood in their way, that's not considered a maisa kinyan. And the way most Rishonim explain, so since it's not considered a maisa kinyan, it's only a new din for which circumstances they'll be chayiv for the damages the animals done do. Kihod Amrav, Hamam Behemus Chaveroi, Akomet Chaveroi. If somebody puts somebody else's animal on somebody else's grain, Ma Chayiv. Says the Gemara, Mamet, if I put it there, of course Pshita that I'm Chayiv. Says the Gemara, let's switch the Kamal Ba'apa. I just steered it towards that grain, and by steering it on that grain, he's Chayiv. Why is he chayiv? So most Rishonim say that he's chayiv because it's considered shame v'regel. By doing such an act, it's considered that he is responsible for any shame v'regel that the animal does. Mefarshim should go on to say, if that will be the din will not only be by mamad behemus chaveroi. The same halacha will be by mamad behemus hefker. Because if I put somebody else, an animal on somebody else's grain, it's considered that I cause shame v'regel. And the Chazon Ish wants to suggest that it would even be by Behemoth Hegdish that we've been learning that there is no Chiv of Nezokim by Behemoth Hegdish. Here, perhaps, there would be a Chiv. The Birka Shmuel disagrees. He says, because the Torah specifically exempts any Chiv when it's a Behemoth of Hegdish, and therefore here too, even though it's a Behemoth Hegdish, the person would be Potter. There is an interesting question, two interesting questions that come up when we speak about this concept of Muhammad Behemus Chaveri. One question that I saw that the Paiskim discuss is that the Aloch is, on Shabbos, I'm allowed to put an animal on top of grass, even though the animal will be eating the grass. And the question is, why is that permitted? If Al Gemara is saying that by putting an animal on somewhere, it's an extension of that I created the act, so it didn't be considered that I caused the animal to eat grass on Shabbos, which is Osir. So to that, the Evan Oizer and many other poets can say, we cannot compare the halachas of Shabbos to halachas of Nezakim. But then I saw a very interesting shaila that unfortunately comes up. Here we're learning that I'm mamad behemus chaveri, if I put somebody else's animal in a place where it does damage, I am the responsible per mazik. And in fact, the Rashba says that this is not just a case of shame v'regel. The Rashba's opinion is that this is considered a situation of odom hamazik. So the question comes up, let's say somebody brings a child to a store, and that person goes shopping in the store, and he leaves the child in a place where the child, let's say he left the child by the candy section and the child ate the candies, or he left the child in another place in the store and the child did damage. Is the person who left the child in that spot chayiv? And the Paiskim suggest that certainly he's chayiv, because it's like Al Gemara of Hamamed Behemus Chaveroi. If you put the behem in a place where it does damage, the person who did that is responsible for what he did. Amal Abaye, Rabbi Yosef. Abaye gives to Rabbi Yosef a different explanation what the case of our Mishnah is. And like the Mefarshim explained, throughout Shas we find that Rabbi Yosef, because he got ill, forgot his learning, and Abaye was reminding him of Pshat that he gave us in the Mishnah. in our Mishnah. Hikisha Amrit Lan. You said that our Mishnah is referring to a case where somebody struck the animal. The list of Namdi Kishua. And our Mishnah is teaching us that the Ganif becomes a Koina, becomes a considered that he owned the animal not only through doing Mashicha, but also by striking the animal. That's considered a Maisa Kinyan. We learned in the Mishnah, Masl Roya, Nichnas Haroya Tachtav, that if the Shomer gave over the animal to another Shomer, the animal, the second Shomer becomes responsible. Amri, Tachtav the man. In whose place does he take? Ilay Metachtav the Baal Behema. So the Mishnah says that the Shomer, the Roya is in the place. If he's in the place of the owner, says the Gemara, of course that's the din. Tanina Chad Zemna. Masl Shomer Chinam. The Shomer replaced the now are the responsible party. El attacked of the Shomer. So the Gemara, what happens is that the first Shomer gave it to another Shomer. The Shomer Kama asked the Gemara if the Leila Gamri does it make the Shomer potter? Leima to have it to you after the Rava. Dama Rava. Shomer Shemasl Shomer Chayiv. The Gemara Masechba Metzi discusses that if somebody gave something over to a Shomer, and that Shomer gave it over to someone else, what is the din? And the Gemara suggests that Shomer Shemasl Shomer is Chayiv, the first Shomer is Chayiv. The Gemara gives two reasons. One reason is because the person who left the item by the Shomer could say that I trust the first Shomer, but I don't trust you. Another pshat is, we know that Allah is, and we'll discuss this more in the coming shurim, that a Shomer has to swear that it wasn't Shaleach Yad. And the person could say, I trust the Shvuah of the Shomer, but I don't trust your Shvuah. Our Gemara, our Mishnah, which the Gemara now is suggesting, is saying that the second Shomer is responsible, seems to be holding that Shomer Shemasl Shomer, one Shomer is allowed to give it over to another Shomer. Ask the Mefarshim, aren't the two circumstances totally dissimilar? There we're referring that I left something by one Shomer and he gave it to the next Shomer, and can he give it over to another Shomer or not? Here we're referring to a situation of Hezek where the animal went and the damage. So why should the first Shomer be responsible? He didn't do anything wrong. Certainly the second Shomer, who didn't watch this animal properly, and therefore the animal went and did damage, should be the responsible party. So explain the Mefarshim, and we've spoken about this concept previously. Particularly if the animal who did damage is a tam, we always collect damages from the owner. Now the owner, he had to pay because it was his animal that did the damages. But now he wants to come collect from the Shomer who didn't properly watch the animal and caused him this loss. And the machloikis here is, the shaili here is, can, when he goes to the Shomer, to whom he left the, by whom he left the animal, the Shomer says, I left, I gave it over to another one, how does the real owner react to that? Can he say, I gave it to you, and I don't trust anybody else, or cannot? And our Mishnah seems to be saying that the Shomer had a right to give it over to someone else. Amalek Rava, my Masr L'Raya, what does Amishta mean that the Shomer gave it over to another Shomer? That he gave it over to Barzilai. He gave it over to his assistant. The Urcha the Royal Mimsul Barzilai, the Roya always gives it over to his assistant, and therefore the owner of the animal cannot say, you had no right to give it to an assistant. Ikadamri, Midatari Masr L'Raya, another version of this discussion, is that it was given over to a shepherd, Vlog Tari Masl Acher, and doesn't say he gave it over to someone else, Shmamina Mai Masl Roya, Mas Royal Brazilai. Specifically a situation where the Roya gave it over to his assistant, which is the Urcha de Roya, Lemimsul Brazilai, since that's the normal course of events that the shepherd relies on his assistant, that's why I, the owner, can have no claim against the Roya for doing that. Ava l'acher, but the Roya has no right to give it over to anyone else. Lema Masayle l'Rava, so this would actually corroborate Rava's opinion. Dama Rava, Shomer Shemasl Shomer Chayiv, that a Shomer has no right to give it over to another Shomer. Amri loy, there is no Raya. The Lama the Urch the Nusktani. Amishnah is referring to the normal situation. Who does the Shayim Raya normally give it over to? He normally gives it over to his assistant. However, it could well be that the din would be the same, that even if he gave it over to someone else, there's nothing wrong, and we don't have a rule that Shaymer Shemas L'Shaymer Chayef.